Hi, I'm Lisette Rodriguez.
And I'm Jeremiah Rodriguez.
And this is
Speaking Life Podcast, where we're inspiring hearts
and transforming minds. So joining us today is someone that's very near and dear to my heart. Not because she's family or anything like that. Just simply because I have watched her evolution from the very beginning of Hope Worship Center and what God has done in her. It's been so transformative. So today you guys are in for a special treat, and I am so honored to introduce to you Natalie Rodriguez.
Yeah, we're excited. Hold on, this is my wife, y'all. This is my wife.
My daughter-in-law.
This is my gorgeous wife.
My daughter-in-law.
You know, you put the ring on it. You know, she's sealed, signed, delivered. She's my forever. She ain't going nowhere.
She's my daughter-in-law.
Anyway.
Tell them. Mm. So this is Natalie.
I'm Switzerland.
So listen, Nat, we brought you here today. I think we've had these conversations before.
Yeah.
When we started Hope Worship Center back in 2017, and you, I think you said it once. You were like, I kind of got thrown up into the mix.
I was just about to say that. Yeah.
Yeah, you were just like, I don't even know if this is what, you know, I was called to do, but like your mom coerced you into.
She did.
It was like
she grandfathered me in. Basically.
Yeah,
grandfathered me.
I didn't have
crazy
to audition or anything. She's just like, come, you can join.
You are accepted.
Right.
So in the very beginning of that, you know, if we could be transparent,
yeah,
I think we all struggled.
Yes.
You know, first of all, we didn't have any musicians.
Oh my goodness!
Please.
So we did a cappella.
The struggles in life, yeah.
And then I think it's nerve-wracking having to minister in front of a congregation. But because we had just started, I think it was even harder trying to minister in front of nobody.
Right.
Because legit,
it was just awesome.
It was your family and our family, and we were hope.
Right.
You know, until people started coming in little by little. So I think the whole dynamic, it was just hard, and it was strange. So I remember in the beginning, you struggled. I think your mom struggled a little bit in leading. Again, not because it's not only the fact of singing. It's not only the fact of having a voice. It's being able to minister to God's people when you yourself don't know where you find yourself at the moment.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I remember many times being like, yeah, I don't think this is going to work. Like, I don't think this is going to work. And oh my God. So going from that to where we are today, it's like night and day.
Right. It's like a jump.
It's night and day. I got to get this out. I remember when I heard your voice for the very first time at Bell Works. Like we were in the back setting up the tables at the entrance. And you ladies were rehearsing, and I remember saying, who is that? So I came and I peeked in, and I'm like, that's Natalie? Like, it was the first time I ever heard your voice like you were actually projecting. Because all that other time, I was frustrated. I was like, she's lip syncing.
He keeps my mic low.
Oh.
Hold on. Time out. No, we're going to have a side note. We're not doing this. Okay. First off, you know, let's paint the whole picture. Let's bring context, right?
Just so kidding.
As worship is starting, I'm thrown into sound. I have no idea what I'm doing.
True story.
No clue. I have no idea what I'm doing. I don't even know what an XLR cable is. I don't know what a microphone cable is. I don't know nothing. So at this time period, well, we're all just trying to figure things out.
Right.
And as I gain some knowledge along the way, I'm like, okay, I got to put the volume up. This one over here in the beginning, because now she's a lot better. In the beginning, she would have to sing, and she'd be like, I'm like,
she would whisper.
She would whisper.
She was the whisperer.
She would whisper. I'm like, what? Yeah. I'm thinking it's me. I'm thinking there's something wrong with me. I'm like, all right, yo, like, I'm pretty sure the gain is up. I'm pretty sure the volume is up. The her channel specifically is all the way up. It's still. I'm like, you know what? I quit. I was like, I don't know how this works. Maybe I'm not doing it right. But, you know, and then now it's this inside joke where she's like, yeah, you keep my mic all the way down. I'm like, I don't. You just don't know how to project.
But anyway, she does much better now. Okay. So, I mean, okay. So within all the years and the transitions from back and forth, like I said, going back to my story, the first time I heard your voice for real, was at Bellworks. And I was like, wow, you know, what a voice. Like, she has potential. Fast forward, we found ourselves now at our recent location. And the way you have ministered to God's people, like, you broke out of that shell. I remember the first Sunday. I literally remember the first Sunday because your mom was on vacation.
Oh, she was. Yes. She
was. Your mom was on vacation. And that's the Sunday that you decided that you were just going to break out and minister. And I remember her texting me saying, hey, I feel a certain kind of way. Like, I missed it. I wasn't there. Like, it has just been phenomenal. But from that time to now, like Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, I just see you continue to grow and evolve. I see you come out of that shell. Like, you're not afraid anymore. Like you can tell you honestly want to minister to God. Mm-hmm. And consequential to that, the people of God are blessed, not only by your voice, but by the way you minister. So talk to me about your journey. Like, how did you go from whispering to now to now actually coming out of that shell? You lead songs, you project, like every time, you know, you start singing, like I find myself closer to the altar.
Yeah, like, that's true.
I do. Like, I walk, all, not that I don't sit in the front row already, but I just like walk all the way up and I'm like, come on, Nat.
I do hear you through my ear monitors. I hear
you know, so it's like, it's been so amazing to watch as your pastor. It has been amazing to watch you come out of that and to watch God use you. And the best is yet ahead, right? Because I believe that God has so much more in store for you. Right. So talk to us. Talk to us about your journey, how you felt in the beginning, to how you feel now, and where do you see yourself evolving to?
So back to where we first started. This has been spoken like in public too, that like the enemy likes to play with my mind a lot and likes to, you know, those conversations that you have that you don't even know you have with them. So in the beginning, of course, my mom throws me in and I'm like, you know, my mom has this huge voice. My sister can sing as well. And she was in our praise and worship team once upon a time. It's like, I would compare myself a lot to her and be like, okay, well, she's this loud voice and I'm this small little mouse in the back. It's almost like in The Lion King where he, like, Simba's trying to find his roar and it's like a little puff of air comes out. Like, that's how I felt when we first started. And then traveling into now, it's like I kind of found it by telling fear and anxiety, you got to go. Like that one Sunday that I remember that vividly when she was on vacation, I was on the altar and I'm getting ready to lead a song and my heart's thumping and thumping and thumping. And I'm like, you know what? I've had enough. Like, I've had enough of this feeling of that. I have to be constricted and not allow God to use me the way I want to be, like the way that he needs to, not that I want to be used. Obviously I want to be used, but the way that he wants to use me. And I remember I'm standing on the altar. I'm like, you have no place. You have no place. Like, you have to go. You need to go. You need to get out of here. You need to shut up. Like, shh, shh. And then all of a sudden, the roar just came out. And it hasn't left since. Like, don't get me wrong. Sometimes I'll still get that feeling again. But, of course, I have to constantly remind myself and have that conversation one-on-one and be like, yo, you got to go.
Now, let's talk about that. Let's talk about that moment where you, like, you have that roaring moment. I remember, just like my mom said, I remember hearing you for the first time, like, that day. And, obviously, this is, like, predating us. Me and Marcus look at each other like, who's that? Like, we were so confused, like, who that? And then you kept on singing. We're like, yo, that's Natalie. That's crazy. And we just both started crying like, wow. That's so crazy. That's so crazy.
Yeah, yeah. So just constantly speaking to my mind and letting it know, like, I'm going to rule you. You're not going to rule me. And just giving, of course, giving God the access first. Like, you have the permission to dwell here. I want you to use me the way that you want me to be used, the way that you need me to be used. Like, this is the conversation I have every Sunday, whether I'm leading or not. Just because, like, regardless of who's leading the song, we're all leading together. up there.
Absolutely.
So we're all ushering everybody into the presence. Even before people get there, like, we invite him in 7:45 a.m., 7:45 prayer, 6 a.m. next Sunday.
All right.
That's what we're doing next Sunday. But we're there and we're dwelling in his presence and we're just getting ready, getting the atmosphere ready. But in terms of where I am now and where I used to be, it's more of a lifestyle now. It's not a chore anymore. Something that I got thrown into and I just do every Sunday because...
I remember, like, so remember during COVID?
Yeah. Oh, no. So we talk about the COVID days.
Yes. We have to. So during COVID, like, we were trying to be strategic and trying to keep it all together, right? And we, for a couple of weeks, I remember telling your mom, you know, you guys record, because your sister was in, like you said. So we were like, you guys record at your house, because obviously, even if you had the cooties, you can't spread them, right? Because you're home.
Yeah.
And we were over here. And then somehow I was like, we'll get Vanessa to try to put it together. But, you know, you record home. And I remember watching you in those recordings. You had this face like, I don't want to be here.
Right. Very distant.
Right? I don't want to be
here. But not there.
And, you know, as a pastor, it was frustrating. I'm like, oh my God, what is happening right now? I was like, what is happening right now?
Let me explain too, because sometimes, like, and you can ask my dad. My dad was, thank you, Daddy. He was the infamous recorder for us, because obviously we didn't have Vanessa or somebody with a professional camera to sit in front of us and everything. But he would record us and then we would mess up, or like, it would be the first few, like, welcoming everybody, like, welcome to Hope, blah, blah, blah. Talking to people that are not there.
Right.
So, of course, like,
you stumble. That was the hard part.
You stumble upon your words. That was the hard
part. Yes.
So we would have to start over and start over and start over. So, of course, my smile would diminish every video. And I'm like, all right, I'm done. Like, I'm done. Because it was just, it happened every Sunday, every Saturday when we were recording these things. So I just wanted to explain myself for a second.
Listen, you don't really have to.
But that was it too.
You don't have to go that far, because for the sermons, it was the same exact thing.
My goodness.
I remember, you know, the first day that I actually went to record the very first sermon, after 5 hours of being in the annex, I came home and told my husband, I can't do it. I can't do it. He was like, what do you mean? And I was like, I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't just look at a camera. I just can't do it. And he was like, Liz, you were there for 5 hours. I was like, I know. And I can't do it. And he's like, what are we going to do for Sunday? And I'm like, we'll figure it out. We'll figure it out, but I can't do it. So I get your struggle.
It was terrible.
I remember during COVID too, we had that, well, you guys had the idea to do like a midweek motivational video. And you would pick out leaders to do so. And I remember one week I was chosen. I kid you not, it took me like 30 takes before I could be like, all right, here, this is the one. Like, it was so hard. I'm like... Gotta start over. Oh man, I gotta start over. It was the most frustrating thing in the world.
I don't know what it is. It's like when you would think that it would be easier because we don't have anybody seeing, right? But it's actually harder. It's like you get, you know, empowered by the people. You get motivated. You get inspired. Yeah. You just get, you know. So I get that part. But it was just like, oh my God, we're already struggling with the sermon part. You guys are struggling with the worship part. And then it was just, I was just like, what are we doing? I was like, God, you know, is Hope going to even remain in existence, right? Because I mean, this is, you know, those COVID days were like really hard.
It was a struggle for real.
But moving forward, right? So we get to Bell Works. I hear you during rehearsal, because then when you guys went live, I didn't hear you no more. Right? And then as we got to the temple, you know, you started to evolve and you started to come out. And like today, when you get up there and you minister, it's like, I don't know if you realize, like, there's so much anointing on your life that when you minister, although you may be petite in stature, you are so powerful. Mm-hmm. So you look like Simba, but you come off as Mufasa.
I am.
You know what I'm saying? When That's you minister, Mufasa. You know, when she ministers, she looks like Simba, but she actually comes off as Mufasa. Like, when you minister Sunday to Sunday, and sometimes I stand there and I'm like, does she know? Like, does she know the anointing that flows off on her, you know, Sunday after Sunday. And what I love about you is that you have the ability to remain in your place, but you're really led by God. And why I say that is that each one of you girls that are up there ministering, you never overpower each other.
Yeah.
So it's like when you're under the anointing, they allow you to flow and you just full force, right? The same way with the other girls. I noticed that when it's them, you know, you guys stand back and let them just flow. There's never this. That's the one thing I got to say, and I honor God for that. There's never this competition. There's right. never this, you know, oh my God, she's trying to overtake. There's just such a unity amongst girls, you know, and the guys too. Okay. And such an anointing. But, you know, I was talking to my son and I'm like, we really need to get, you know, Nat up here because the change that you did, it's like, it was a total 360. It was, but you said something very key before. You said, now it's become a lifestyle.
Yeah.
Talk to me about that lifestyle.
That lifestyle. I mean, I eat, sleep, and breathe worship. I think everybody knows, like, I'm not, I love praise, don't get me wrong. But, like, we're working on the charisma now. Because the girls always say, like, we're going to get you to do a praise song. I'm like, really? In what world? It'll happen.
Somewhere. It'll happen. It'll happen.
But I love worship. Like, it's something about worship that just, it, like, makes your insides, like, tingle. Like, you just feel, like, you could close your eyes and it's, like, as if he's standing right in front of you. That's just what it feels like for me, personally. Like, I'm at his feet, practically. Like, that's where it takes me. So, right now, well, obviously, since my journey, like, I eat, sleep, breathe, worship. That's all I listen to. Is just straight worship.
I can vouch for that. That's true.
Worship, praise every now and then. It'll pop in there, but it's just straight worship. Like on the way to work, worship. At work, singing to the kids, worship. Like,
so who are some of your favorites that you go to for worship?
Well, firstly, I say my mommy. My mommy is my favorite. Aww. She's my favorite. I can honestly say that. I'm only saying that to get brownie points and that she's my favorite.
You don't need but brownie points. She's your mom.
She has my heart. Like just, and he can attest to it too. Now that, you know, he's my husband, he lives with us. She's up at 5 a.m. reading her word. She's singing. She has music on. Like she inspires me. Like she has pushed me to where I am now. My second would be Lizzie Morgan. I love me some Lizzie Morgan.
Oh, shout out to Lizzie.
Love her. Her and my mom like hold the same stature to me. My mommy's a little higher because that's my mommy. But like just hearing them worship and just be free, it inspires me to be the same way. Not to be like them because I was created to be different. I have my own. Everybody has their own sound.
Right.
Whether you can sing or not, you have your own sound. It's the same to God. It's the same perfume. Like it smells the same to him.
Right.
But yeah. They've just inspired me in ways that I don't think I tell my mom enough either. So, mommy, if you're watching this, just know you inspire me a lot. I don't tell her enough, but just hearing her.
She's evolved,
her,
too.
She has.
We need to bring her here because she's already evolved.
That is Mufasa.
I already told her.
Yeah.
She comes. Because on a dime, like, Mufasa. To her point, like, on a dime, I get up for work at 6 a.m. And she's the first person I see consistently. Every single morning with a good morning and a huge smile on her face. So the mornings that I get up and I don't see her, I'll tell her like, where my mother-in-law at? She's late. Like, where's she at?
She's late.
Because I expect it. So when I go into darkness, I'm like, oh my gosh, she's not up. I'm like, okay. All right, cool. But yeah, I think I can definitely vouch for that for sure.
There's been an involvement there with, you know, Pastor Cindy as well. Because again, it's just, you can't get, I think, you know, you cannot get into the presence of God and his presence not cause change.
Right.
You know, you can't. It's impossible for you to be in the presence of God and you yourself not change and not evolve and not grow. So the same thing for your mom. Voice-wise, I think she's always been amazing. So that's not...
Yeah, it's neither here nor there.
That's nor here nor there. But I think as her pastor as well, watching her growth... From the beginning of Hope back in 2017, that we started at your home, And, you know, I would ask her, like, before we were opened up in Bible study, like, hey, sing us a song or two. And,
yeah,
you know, I miss those days. Like, I'm honored that we were able to do that there in the comfort of your home.
I ain't going for it. I didn't like those days.
Oh, no, I did. I have a video in my phone.
Yeah.
And it's, I have to find it. But it's, the voices are Pastor E and my mom just singing together before Bible study. It sounds like angels to me.
Wow.
Every time I hear it, it sounds like
angels. To me, like, I didn't hear that. I heard my voice. I was like, yeah, see, at least when the sound is on, the click track is going, the instruments are going, you can hide behind that.
No. Pastor Cindy had music. She had a click track.
But it's not like a speaker. You know what I'm saying? It was just like, all right, that's good enough to like have in the house. But like, I could still hear my voice. See, on Sundays, when there's speakers going on, like you got the full microphone, I feel like I could sing. Take the noise away.
God.
I promise you, I cannot sing.
But sometimes worship doesn't always sound pretty.
Yeah, but see, that bothers
me. That's where you come in.
No.
See. It doesn't always sound pretty. It's a sound. But
that's why, like, I speak. I don't sing.
I hate hearing the way I sound. Like, I won't go back and listen to film, is what we call it, like the sports people do. I hate that. But it's like, I got convicted one time and God was like, you know, you may not like the way it sounds, but to me, it sounded beautiful. Like,
right.
So when we sing up there on Sundays, and it just brought an eye, like something popped into my head. Like, when we sing on Sundays together up there, I don't know about everybody else, but to me, it sounds like we're singing with all of heaven. Like, it sounds beautiful. Then you go back and listen to it, and you're like,
I think, oops, but that's good though, because like now, like it gives you like, it sets the bar, right? So there it sounds better, but when you watch film, and just like you said, like I watch film too, based on like how I spoke, because I always feel like, and you know, my mom can attest to this, that you can always do better, right? So then you start nitpicking, like, hey, I could have done this differently there, or I could have delivered this a different way, or my idea didn't really match, but you know what? We can do better for next time. You know what I mean? So like, I think that's where it's kind of cringy, because you see your flaws. Like, yeah, there in the midst of it, when you're united with everybody, it's phenomenal.
Yeah, but I don't know if you guys have experienced this, because it's not only hope. I've experienced this personally at other congregations that I've gone when I visit there. So you go in person and you enjoy worship. Like, you think worship was amazing. You felt the presence of God. You think worship was amazing. But then you go back and listen to it, or you listen to that specific church on another given day, and you're like, oh my God, they sound horrible.
Yeah.
But sometimes, you know, when you're in person, it sounds so much better. So I think sometimes it's the recording. It's the whole, how they, you know.
It sounds different. It's different in live versus recording. Because, I mean, obviously when recording, you have to adjust the sound, to make it sound good. It's two different ball games. That's why it sounds better live.
You know, like, I get it. Even in my sermons, I'll have people come up to me like, oh my God, Pastor, what a word. I struggle to go back and listen.
I can't listen.
I struggle. But sometimes I've learned how to force myself to go back, because remember that God has given us a gift.
Right.
And we are responsible to develop that gift.
Yeah.
So God gave you the gift. Now it's your responsibility to develop that gift and for that gift to totally evolve. Right? So, you know, what am I saying? Like, I've forced myself sometimes to go back and listen to the sermon, and then I criticize myself, like, oh, I should have brought this point across a little more clear. I should have, you know, added this to that. Oh, I should have omitted that and added this, and I forgot this point. I should have put this point. So even though I'm being critical of myself, what I'm really doing is sharpening my gift, because with time, it'll become better and better and better. So, you know, it's like when Jesus gave talents to those people, right? And when he came back, he wanted a return.
Yeah.
Right? So God has given us a gift, but it's up to us to sharpen that gift. Whether you decide to take voice lessons, whether you decide to go back and listen and see where you could, you know, because I think everybody has their own style.
Yeah.
You know, everybody has their own style. Everybody, you know, some of the artists, they their voice is raspy. And I love that too. But not every artist is raspy. Right. You know, some artists, you know, they have that soprano. Some have that. So it all depends, you know. But again, because God is so amazing and so awesome, He gives us each our own individual gift. And it's not to compare, but we could inspire one another and definitely always better the gift that God has given us. So, you know, going back to you, oh my God, from 2017 to 2025, it's night and day. It's like you did a whole 360. Like, it's night and day. But here's the thing. I'm not simply talking about your voice. I'm talking about your whole spirit, your whole attitude. Like, this is what people don't understand. When they go up on an altar to minister to God's people, you are an actual Levite that's at war.
Yeah.
You know, people don't think that. They think like, oh, well, you know, I want to be seen. You know, I have the voice. I want to be seen. I can carry a note. No, when you're up there, it's showing up for battle.
Right.
It's showing up for the war. You know, so people come in with different spirits. People come in angry. People come in sad. People come in depressed. And the fact that the anointing over your life has the ability to transform and change somebody's life. Like, have you ever seen that taking place while you minister? Like, have you seen the reaction or what takes place in the congregation as you're ministering?
I have. Normally I keep my eyes closed normally because again, like I feel like he's just right in front of my face. So it's like, that's just the type of relationship I have and how I like to flow. But I remember, you had mentioned one time to the praise and worship team that you wanted us to keep an eye on the congregation, make sure like, you know, nobody's, getting tired. Like if we're overdoing it, 'cause sometimes you can overdo it and then you just see everybody kind of just get lost. But recently I've been opening up my eyes and just seeing like how the room changes. And I know it's not me.
Right.
Like I know it's not because of myself. Like I said, like before, sometimes worship's not pretty. It's not about a pretty voice. It's not about having a mic in your hand. It's about, you know, what God does through you. So I know that it's not myself, but it's sometimes it's overwhelming when I open my eyes and I see like everything's changed. There's people on the floor. There's, you know, hands lifted. There's, you know, people at the altar. And I'm like,
people are crying.
And I'm like, what is going on? So then I close my eyes again. I'm like peeking through. But it's overwhelming, not in a bad way, but overwhelming. Like when there's certain people I can't look at during worship because they make me cry. Just seeing like how.
It's touching them.
How it's touching, like how the Spirit of God is just touching them and it touches my heart and it makes me cry. And I've told these people, I'm like, I can't watch you. You make me cry. But just to see how people are touched by God's presence alone, whether it's from, you know, through me or through one of the others on the worship team, it's amazing to see like how he just comes and he changes everything. And He shifts atmospheres. He moves, like, regardless whether the person next to us is feeling it or not, he's still going to move. And it'll touch them eventually. But we used to get super frustrated when we would see that nobody, not that nobody, but when it's not touching people. And you're like, how do you not feel that? But then again, it's not you, it's him. So.
Right.
Everybody has their own appointed time. So to watch that happen is really, really cool.
And I think that happens with both the speaker and then also the worship team as well.
Right.
So like, I believe I was talking to Deacon David one time because he taught one young adults Monday and he was like, yo, like I was kind of tight because they looked like they were low energy and they looked like this and a third. And I was telling him, I was like, listen, like, don't worry about them. Your job is to bring the energy and to convey what God has placed on your heart.
Right.
Whether they receive it or not, that's on them, but at least you brought it.
Yeah.
That's all that matters.
That part.
Because when you begin to speak or you begin to sing based on a reaction of people, you'll die based on the reaction as well. And he's just like, oh, well, you're low energy? Well, nah, I'm low energy. No, I still have to bring that thing and be excited about it, even if you're not, because it's to your point, like people come in with different spirits. So it's like, even if that's what you're coming in with, guess what? I'm ready for war. What's up? So this is the energy I'm going to bring and this is what I'm going to deliver it with. So I think that's always a challenge. But I remember you said like everybody has their own style and we were talking about like who inspires you, right? So have you ever gotten to a season where instead of like honing in on your own voice, you try to be like somebody else? Because I can speak from a speaker's standpoint where there's guys that I watch, Pastor Darius Daniels, Pastor Anthony, Philip Anthony Mitchell now, Mike Todd back in, back a few months ago. And I would want to be, not be like them. I was inspired by them, but sometimes I would catch myself, oh, I said it like him, or I said it like this. Like, did you ever catch yourself in a season where it's just like, oh, I'm singing like Lizzie, or I'm singing like my mom. I'm not really singing like me.
So, that was actually pretty recent. I want to say maybe a few months ago. But when you sing specific songs and you hear their voices in your brain,
you sing it like them.
You sing it like them.
Mm. So I think that's easier to do.
It's a lot. It's a singer, easier to do.
Yeah. From a singer's perspective than from a speaker's perspective. Because you can't really, even though I hear dynamic, you know, preachers and speakers, you know, I can't repeat after them verbatim.
No, but you can sound like them. So, for example, I remember you and I on one stretch were like hot on Darius Daniels. Right. And then you would speak and I would hear Darius. Like, and it's because you become who you hang around with, right? Yeah. Same thing with Pastor Glenn, true. Right? And that's, I remember you like, put the fire in the chat. And I'm like, oh my God. Put the fire, because, and I remember like watching,
I was trying to think who was, who does,
I'm like
sound
watching
like
videos. I'm like, Darius Daniels says all the time. He's like, I don't know about y'all, but put the fire in the chat. Put the, and I'm, you started doing, I was like, oh, here we go, Darius.
But
Daniels.
You know how many people I've had tell me, you know, people that didn't even know where I came from would tell me, you sound like Pastor Glenn. Sound like Pastor Glenn. And that, you know, and even till today, people will tell me, I can tell you speak just like him. You know, you can tell you're his daughter.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you sound like Pastor Glenn. So it's like, I guess you're right. It's those years that inspire you, but it's also those that surround you too.
Yeah.
Right. Cause he's my mentor. He's my pastor.
Yeah.
So it's like, they're almost like embedded in you.
Yeah, for
right?
sure.
So even
for
though sure. you're trying to be your own person, you can't help but sound like someone that's been inspiring you, which is, you know, which is fine.
So how do you, as a singer, because to your point, I think that's accurate, that it's easier for, I guess, a singer to sound like the person that, you know, that, you know, that sings it versus like your own voice. So how do you balance that out?
So who actually corrected us on that was Pastor Cindy. Because during rehearsal, be like, oh, well, I can hear so-and-so's voice in it. And I can hear so-and-so's voice in it. And she's like, no, bring your own. Make it your own. Like, do it the way God designed you to do it.
Yeah.
So from there on, it kind of broke it. I mean, there's certain songs we still mimic ad-libs and stuff, but that's because it's just ingrained in the song. It's basically part of the song at that point.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But in terms of walking, talking, speaking, ministering, like somebody that inspires you, you make it your own.
Yeah.
So I've had to unlearn certain things to,
but here's the thing,
teach myself something new.
You know how many times I'm up there and I'm in the presence, and because I too know how the song goes, right? By the artist, the original artist, I'm like, hold up, they missed that part.
The ad-libs.
Yeah.
Wait. They're supposed to say, hey.
Yeah.
They missed that part. You know, so there's certain parts that even when your mom is singing, I'm like, okay, here's where she's going to come in. And I'm like,
it's not there.
She missed it. Like, ooh, what happened?
Yeah,
and
so
I opened my eyes,
recording.
Right? But it's that.
Yeah, we're so used to recording.
If you know the actual artist and you know the way they sing it, it's almost automatic. You expect it to come.
You expect it to,
and
come.
And your mom is right. You ought to just flow from your own self and be an original. But it's also easy to fall, because that's how you learned the song.
Right. That's how you learned it.
It's not your original song. So it's how you learned the song. Yeah. So it's like kind of,
especially because we don't have musicians yet. We do click track. So of course the click track is exactly how the song goes.
Right.
So,
and you're kind of limited.
Sometimes,
even though you guys, especially you, you're freaking amazing. When that music is to a totally different song, and here she comes
mashing up.
She adds a totally different song and different lyrics to the same music that she was playing from the song before. And I'm like, I open my eyes and I'm like, oh, but that actually sounds good. You know, and then she goes right back into the original song. I was like, oh my God, like the creativity.
That's tough too.
You should see our group chats. It's mainly me and Becca sometimes. Leah will throw it in there. And my mom, I've been surprised with her lately. She threw some in there.
She's catching up with the younger generation.
She said she's going to start hanging out with us. I said, okay, so, hey, girl. But it'll, like, Becca and I will be in the group chat. We're like, what if we add this? What if we add this? Or on a Sunday morning, like, you hear the music and then you hear something else and you're like, I got something. Like, we're just like, repeat it, repeat it, repeat it. Like, keep going.
The point to that is that it's spirit led.
Yeah.
You can't be in the spirit of God, in the presence of God, and God not give you that.
Right.
So it's not even coming from you.
But also, let's talk about that creative process, right? Because, you know, obviously I do the sound for you guys. For those who don't know, I do sound for Hope Worship Center, unfortunately, fortunately. I'm ready to hand the baton off, okay? But either way, that's neither here nor there. Like, how is that creative process as far as that's concerned? Like how does that work for you guys? Because to the point of, you know, my mom, it's a different sound. So what goes on and says, like, hey, I got something? Like, what is the process of that? And how can I apply it?
Right. Listen, normally I'll speak from my perspective because I don't know necessarily how the others do it. But if I know I'm leading a song, or even if I'm not, and I hear something in the click track, like an instrumental part, I'll go to my mom and I'll be like, what do you think about this? Or I'll text in the group chat, what do you think if we add this into here? But obviously before I bring it up, I'll do it myself, make sure it sounds
right to you.
Sounds right or good, for lack of better words. And then we'll just talk about it. And then I remember one time I was showing my mom, I forgot what song it was for. I think it was for Altar. And I put, I think, Give Me Jesus in it. And I made her cry in the kitchen. She was hysterically crying. My dad's like, what's wrong with you? She's like, do not hear this. But I was in the, I was in the shower and I was singing the song and I was like, wait, that kind of sounds like this song. And it just popped into my head and I started doing it. And I was like, let me just put it past her and see what she thinks. Like, this was in the beginning when we started mashing the songs up. Because we, not that we sing the same songs, but we kind of add different flavors to the songs.
Yeah, for sure.
Just to spruce it up and bring something different and obviously let it be spirit led. And I just remember that day vividly. For the first time, I made her cry in the kitchen. It was the funniest thing. And it worked. Like, sometimes we don't think that it'll work until we do try it. We want revival, like, at the end, towards the end of the song. We had it, I think, playing for at least, like, 20 minutes.
At least.
And we're just, we were literally going back and forth, like, with different songs, like, just flowing. So we also do it that way too. Like, if you hear it in your head, we say it.
Just go for it.
Yeah. Right? Just go for it.
And I can like speak on behalf of Becca just for a little bit, because I've caught her like listening to the click track sound. If she's at work, if she's at home, and I'm like, you listen to click track right now? She'll be like, yeah, I'm just trying to figure something out.
Right.
I'm like, I remember one Sunday we were singing that song Big. We were doing it for the first time. And she was like, and she was like, Jay, this is what we're going to do. You're going to take this out. You're going to put this in. You're going to take this out. And then when I tell you to bring this in, you're going to bring it out. Right. So we're singing Big, and it comes to the point where, you know, she's like, all right, Jay, blah, blah, blah. Dude. She's like ministering and I'm doing everything she's saying. And it sounds fire. Yo, I remember the young people at that time, like, yo. Right. And it was so good to the point where when it ended, they came up to me like, yeah, yo, that was tough. Yo. I was like, yeah, no, really. It was
God
Mecca. It was really Becca the entire time.
They called, you took credit for that?
Yeah, for a little bit, because they called me Jeremiah West. I couldn't turn that down.
Such a mess.
I couldn't turn that down, but I was like, nah, it was really Becca. But they just saw me on the pad, just.
Yeah, so but listen, I believe, crazy with that. Even in that, I truly believe that God is allowing us this season of not having musicians so that we can develop.
Oh, that gifting
that's already within us. Because trust me when I tell you, the musicians are coming.
They are. They are.
The musicians are coming. And we've when I've been praying for musicians for Hope, I said, God, I need musicians that have your heart.
Yeah.
I need musicians that have, if they don't have your heart, if they don't have, you know, your anointing, I don't want them. Right? Because for secular musicians, we can just hire.
Yeah.
That's very true. Yeah.
Musicians for hire. But I want musicians that have your heart. Like, we were in a flourishing church in LA, and they have like two sets of different musicians. Phenomenal. And one of the guys actually plays with a famous artist. So I know your father was talking to Pastor Israel, and they're like, yo, you know, how did you guys get him and blah, blah, whatever. And he's like, it came out of him. He said, I want to give back to God from the gift that he has given me.
Wow.
You see the pasture of his heart?
Yeah.
And he would play at different services. And he still played for this well-known artist, but he would make sure that God got his first. Okay. So, I mean, I was just amazed at everything that God has been doing. And I said, God, that's what I want. Same thing with, may he rest in peace, Pastor DeMola, right? So Pastor DeMola also had many musicians, right? And we came to find out that he never paid any of them. They all wanted to give back to God the gift that God had already deposited in them. And I get it. Listen, I don't even want to get into that subject about, you know.
That's a topic for another day.
Yeah, that's a topic for another day.
Because you can really see the
And I'm not saying that musicians shouldn't get paid. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that the location of your heart matters.
Right.
Yeah.
Where your heart is matters. So yeah, I know that when God gets ready to bless Hope Worship Center with some musicians, my prayer has always been, it's not about finances. My prayer has always been, God, let them have a heart after you. That's it. Because if they're anointed and the worship team is anointed, what's going to take place?
That's true.
I mean, you know, you could only imagine what's going to take place. So they're coming.
They are coming.
But in the meantime, continue to develop that gift that God has given you, Becca, and the other, you know, girls on the team and the guys that, you know, you guys are able to just mesh these songs up. Yeah. Like, that has to be God. That's a strategy from God. Yeah. And that you don't limit yourself. And like you were teaching not too long ago, you're not putting God in a box because you're saying, this is all I have. No, you're saying, okay, this is what I have. Let me see how much more I can do with it.
Yeah, for sure.
And that's what God looks at, a heart that is willing to work with what you have.
Right.
And not concentrating on what you don't got. Hey, I don't have that, but since I have this, what am I going to do with this?
Yeah.
And as you continue to do that and you continue to see God, God honors that. Man, God honors that. I think that's why sometimes, you know, when you guys are up there in your ministry, you know, you feel like you have a whole band. You feel like you have a whole orchestra. Nobody's going to know anything different, honestly. Yeah. Like right now, if we didn't tell you guys we're on Click Track, you really wouldn't know.
Nah, you wouldn't know.
Because the way you're doing sound and you're circling around again and you guys know exactly when to come in and you minister. And if the Holy Spirit's, you know, ministering at the time, the way you guys keep the flow.
I think it's a good communication between both parts. I mean, there has to be no choice but communication, especially when they have something and they want me to repeat something.
Right.
It's just more, I have to stay locked in. Like, right. All right, what do you want to do next? Because at the end of the day, like, even though they're singing, I look at myself as the quarterback and they're the wide receivers, right? So they're saying they want the ball. Okay, cool. I have to throw it. Whether throwing is repeating a certain part, skipping a certain part, but I have to be tuned into them because if not, then I messed them up because they already wanted to go somewhere and I just missed the direction, which we've had times like that where I'm just like, oh man, I messed it up or Click Track wasn't acting appropriately, you know, glitching or something like that. You know, we've had plenty of times like that.
And praising God with your eyes open.
Yeah, praising God. Yeah.
Because, you know, you tend to want to like, oh, I'm like, no, baby, no. Oh, look.
That was me for a short season. And Pastor Cindy would be like, I need you to look at me because
I'd be
like, so embedded in worship because I'm crying. Just like her, I love worship. I mean, I love praise too. I like a mixture of things, but like, I love worship. So, like, most of the times, especially when she does something, I'm like, yo, that's my wife. Jesus, please.
Oh,
you know,
I'm
like, and I hear it because, you know, I hear it at home too. So it's dope. So it's cool. But I think I want to bring it back to like your point, you know, last episode was putting God in a box, right?
Right.
Oftentimes I feel like we can put a box on ourselves because we think our sound doesn't sound good enough.
Right.
Have you ever been in a season of that? And if you have, what was that like?
Yeah, for a long time. That was a few seasons. A few. It just felt very constricting. Like I felt like I was constricting. I was doing it to myself because it's like, you know, you're given this gift. You're given everything. God gives you everything that you need. He already equips you.
Right.
It's up to you to, one, allow him to use you, and two, to just take the step forward.
Right.
For myself, I put that box on myself for a very long time because of comparison, because of fear, because of anxiety, a mixture of things that I didn't really count as excuses, but they were excuses because, again, I was doing it to myself. And it was like, it would make me sad because I would, you know, watch other, like I would watch my mom, I would watch Leah, I would watch Becca, other groups online, other artists, different, you know, worshipers. And I would see how free they are. And I'm like, why can't I do that? Like, why can't I, you know, jump around the altar like they do? Why can't I, you know, jump and turn and, you know, use my voice the way that I was created to do? So just doing it to myself until one day I had enough. And I was like, nope, you're going to open this box up and you're going to force yourself to. Because it's like you could, and I could say that he's been, you know, always supportive and always, you know, you've always been supportive and just telling me, you know, you're more than capable. Like you have it in you. It takes you to take that step. Like you could
tell. It takes you to believe it.
It takes you to believe it. Like people could tell you till they're blue in the face, but you yourself have to believe that yourself. And I remember Pastor
Dr.
A had came one Sunday. That was another pivotal moment in you know, my journey too. And I wasn't fully like out of my box yet. I was getting there. I was breaking it open. And I remember she started prophesying over people and she got to me and my heart was thumping. I'm like, Lord, I know you're coming after me. And I literally could feel her eyes like, and she peeled on me. She's like, you were sitting up there. I was like, She goes, you know, I saw you up there and I just saw you're just free. Like, I think she said something along the lines of like, it basically looked like a flowy gown on me. And it was like free. Like she goes, and you hide, but then I saw you step up. And I remembered that on the way here when she said you stepped up. And I'm like, because some people take that and they get a big hit.
Yeah.
I never wanted that for myself. Like yeah. I always, whenever people come up to me after service and they're like, yo, Nat, like you rock that. I always give the glory back.
Right.
I'm like, thank you, God. Like, thank yes. you. Like, amen. Praise God. For, you know, thank
That's
you for that.
That's a good thing to do, right?
I never wanted to be on myself. I didn't give myself the gift. I was given the gift.
Right.
But remembering her saying that and just seeing from where I was to where I am now, I'm like, all right, that makes perfect sense. It wasn't at that moment that happened, but right. now that word makes sense now. It was definitely
I get it
now.
I get it. It's been such a blessing. Well, listen, I'm proud of you.
We all
are
proud
of you. And I would
like
to say that. I mean, I've told you that before in private, but I would like to say it publicly. I'm so proud of you and what God is doing in and through your life. And now, you know, through the both of you guys as a married couple, I'm very honored to have you as my daughter-in-law. My favorite one. My only one. No, but I mean, seriously. No, I love you. And I thank God and I want to encourage you to continue to become everything God has called you to be because you have that and then some. You think you're good now? Haven't seen nothing yet. You're just at the tip of what
hey,
God
listen,
has in
yo.
Store.
Listen, I've been encouraging her as well. Just a side note, I also bought her a journal so she could start writing music. That's coming. This is the end goal for me. Just stay tuned. This is the end goal for me. I'm trying to retire so I can go on tour with my wife. Oh. You feel me? I'm trying to retire so I can, you know, go on tour with my wife, go to these cities because she's going to be bomb. She's going to be fire. She's just got to put the paper, you know, the pen to the paper. That's
it's
all.
It's in the works.
I believe it.
It's going to happen. It's going to happen.
So
thank you guys for tuning in into this episode here in A Worshipper's Heart right here. If you loved what you heard, please like, subscribe, share. If you're on Spotify, hit that notification button so that way you're getting constant updates. And we want to hear your feedback. Let us know what you want to hear so that way we can serve you in a better way, for sure. So again, share this with your aunties, your uncles, your second cousin removed. Share with the whole world. That's the whole purpose. We're here to spread wisdom, to change hearts and transform minds. All right?
Take care, guys.